Let's bow as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. We love you for all that you've done for us, and we pray that today would be a day of change and blessing and transformation as we look into your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. We ask that you would do something amazing in our spirits as we look to you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the fruit of the Spirit, and it is part 7. If you have a Bible, turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's look together at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You know, of all of the characteristics of God that I think is probably the most comforting for the believer, one of them is the characteristic of God's faithfulness. Have you ever spent much time thinking about the faithfulness of God? How that he is always the same. How that God can always be counted on. That he is not moody. That he is not, he doesn't have bad days. God is always one who can be counted on. He can be trusted. There is no whims with him. He is someone that you and I can look to as an anchor, as a rock, who never, ever changes. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 says it this way. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping the covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. We see this concept of God's faithfulness all over the scripture. I could spend all morning just quoting scripture after scripture about his faithfulness, but listen to a few of these verses. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 7. The prophet writes this. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And then Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Whenever we talk about the fact that God in his essence, in his character, in his being, is faithful, we are saying that God is worthy of believing. We are referring to that characteristic of God that allows us to have confidence in him and to believe in what he says, in who he is, and in what he does. God's faithfulness is his unwavering commitment to his promises. The fact that God is faithful was captured by a hymn that all of us know. It was written by Thomas Chisholm. And Thomas Chisholm was looking back over his life. And as he looked back over his life in 1923, he came up with these words. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You know, there are so many verses in the Bible that gets very little press. And I think that one of them is a verse that is tucked into the book of Psalms, chapter 89 and verse 8. This is what David writes. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. It's like David is saying, God, when I think about you and I think about your glory and your character and your being and who you are, I think of faithfulness as surrounding you. It is what we see when we look at you. It surrounds who you are. I want to see if I can illustrate the fact that God is faithful through this story. There's a man by the name of Lloyd Douglas. You may know him as the man who wrote the book called The Robe and many other novels. When he was a university student, he was living in a boarding house. And downstairs on the first floor, there was this elderly man who used to be a music teacher. He was disabled, and he could rarely ever leave his apartment. Every single morning, this man who became a phenomenal writer and a nationally known author, Lloyd Douglas, every morning the man and he had this ritual. Lloyd would go downstairs, and when he went downstairs, they would have a ritual of, he would ask this question, well, my friend, what is the good news? Well, the old man would pick up this tuning fork. He would tap it on the side of his wheelchair, and this is what he would say. He would say, my friend, that's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now. Now, the tenor upstairs, he sings flat. The piano across the hall, that's out of tune, but my friend, that's middle C, and it always will be. And the biblical authors want us to understand that God is faithful, and he always will be. We can count on him. He is one who can be trusted. He is one who can be totally dependent upon. You know, the writer of Hebrews says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so since this is a key characteristic of the character of God, that he is faithful, no wonder the Apostle Paul says that when one is led by the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God wants to build into his or her life this quality of being faithful. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the word faithfulness comes from the Greek word pistis. It means the state of being someone in whom confidence can be placed, reliable, and dependable. So this morning, I would like to briefly give us 4 insights into the faithfulness the Holy Spirit wants to build into your life. First, the Holy Spirit wants you to be a person of your word. The quickest way for a man or a woman to ruin his testimony or her testimony is to not keep your word. Always tell the truth. Never exaggerate. Make sure that you build a reputation that you mean what you say and you say what you mean. Don't embellish. You will occasionally hear things and You will not know if it's really true or not. Don't spread it. Don't repeat it. Make sure that you can be a person who can be counted on as one who always tells the truth. In his classic book, Horton Hears a Who, Dr. Seuss gave this famous line, "I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. And that's what God wants you to be like. He wants you to be a woman of your word. He wants you to be a man of your word, someone that when you say something, you can go to the bank with it. You can be trusted. People know that you are a reliable source. That's what it means to be faithful. You can be a person who is a woman or a man of your word. Dad and mom, may I say something to you? One of the greatest lessons you can teach your son or daughter is to be a person of his word. And whenever they lie, and they will, whenever they say things that are not quite right, when they misrepresent the truth, call them on it. Because if we don't call them on it, they will assume that it is okay to tell a little white lie. And then ultimately, that little white lie will grow into this humongous character flaw of a person who cannot be trusted. A very powerful Bible verse to me is Psalm 15:4. And in Psalm 15:4, I want to read that to you in just a moment, but I want to read the context for us first. In Psalm 15:1 through 4, I want to read it from the New Living Translation, and then let's focus on verse 4. This is what it says. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter into your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Now listen to verse 4. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Look at that last verse again. And keep their promises even when it hurts. Here's the principle. Spirit-led Christians keep their word even when it means unexpected sacrifice. Let me say it again. Spirit-led Christians keep their word even when it means unexpected sacrifice. Do what you say. Say what you mean, and then you will be known as a faithful man or woman of God. Second, the Holy Spirit wants you to be faithful witness for Jesus, even when there are no seeming results. There could be someone that you're witnessing to at work. Maybe there's someone that you're witnessing to that is in your family, and you keep telling them about Jesus, but there is no response. You get no response from them whatsoever. Listen to these stories of men and women who kept being faithful and giving the gospel even when people didn't respond. All of us have heard the name William Carey. William Carey was the father of modern missions. He labored for 7 years in India before baptizing one convert. Think of that. 7 years before baptizing one convert. America's first missionary, Adoniram Judson. He labored for 7 years in Burma before seeing his first convert. A missionary by the name of Alan Gardner traveled repeatedly to South America. He was trying to evangelize the islands of Patagonia and Tierra del Fuego. He eventually died without seeing one soul saved. But the South American Missionary Society he founded has been sending out missionaries and reaching converts for over 150 years. And listen to this one. In 1939, the first Sudan Interior Mission Workers, SIM, went to Douro in southern Sudan. They wanted to share the gospel with the Mabon people who had never heard of Christ. Years passed, and three SIM workers were buried at Douro. More than 50 worked there diligently from 1939 to 1964 when they had to leave because of civil war. When they left, there was less than a handful of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the civil war was over and they were able to return, they were amazed to find that there were witnessing believers all over the country, and there were 300 people waiting there to be baptized. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not become weary in well and doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's what it means to be faithful, to keep witnessing, to keep telling people about Jesus, even when there are no seeming results. Third, everyone can be faithful. It doesn't matter what your gift is. You don't have to be a preacher or a teacher, a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to have any kind of a visible ministry. But the fact is, you can be faithful. The definition of a believer is someone who has faith in Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus wants to fill you with faith. He wants to make you faithful. You may not have a visible gift, but you can be faithful. The essence of faithfulness is to obey Jesus. The essence of faithfulness is to do what he says, no matter what your age, no matter what your economic status, no matter what your health is like, you can be faithful. And then one day, if you are faithful on this earth for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stand before Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ will say the same thing to you that he says to Billy Graham or anyone else who has a very visible public ministry. Listen to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." And then fourth, dependability is one of life's best abilities. You know, whenever you gather together as a body of believers in a church, one of the things that you want to do is you want to have people who can be depended upon, so that whenever it's time to start Sunday school, the teacher is in his class. Whenever people begin to take their children to Sunday school class, the teacher's there waiting, smiling, ready to teach, to receive people. Why? They can be depended upon. When you're on a commission and it starts at 7 o'clock, it's critical to be there at 7 o'clock, to be dependent upon. The way a church functions smoothly is to have this quality of dependability. All of us have heard of the great geyser called Old Faithful. Do you know that Old Faithful is not the largest geyser in Yellowstone National Park? Do you know that it does not reach the greatest height of any of the geysers in Yellowstone? But it's the most popular. Why? Because it is dependable. It can be counted on. Old Faithful is popular because people can depend upon it always being dependent upon. It's wonderful to be able to see that. I want to close this morning by just simply telling you a conversation that I had with a missionary this week. This guy is a good friend of mine. His name is Sammy Najiro. And Sammy actually works in the slums of Kenya. He's a great great young man of God. I love him very, very much. Sammy finally was able to talk to me this week after trying for a while. And we talked for a while, and he said this. He said, "Keith, let me tell you what I'm learning in my life. I'm learning to take God at his word, and I'm learning that every single day I can just wake up in the morning and say, Lord, people will fail me. Friends will forsake me. Ministry may be heartbreaking, but there's one thing about you. I can always count on you." And he said, "Keith, do me a big favor and open your Bible to the book of Psalms." And I said, "Okay, I'm ready. Go for it." He said, "Turn with me to Psalm 118:8. He said, "Almost every day in the past months, I've gone to Psalm 118:8, and it has been a tremendous, tremendous blessing to me almost every day." And this is what it says: "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." He said, "Keith, this is what I do every day." He said, "I'm not keeping my eyes on people. I am running to God. I am taking refuge in him. I am getting my joy from him, my satisfaction from him, because he can be trusted. Sometimes my friends can't be trusted. Sometimes my relatives can't be trusted. Sometimes the people in my life who I thought were the closest to me will let me down. And that's why every day I now get up and my refuge is God. Because," and this is what he said, "I have found him to be faithful." Well, our great God is faithful. He can be trusted. He can be counted on. You can bank your life and your eternal destiny upon his promises. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his great love for us in going to the cross. And he died for us. He was on the cross. He was crucified for what we had done. And the Lord Jesus Christ made this promise. He said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes on me has everlasting life." He can be trusted. You can go to the bank with his promise. Whenever he tells you something, it is done. And so if you are here today and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation, and may today be the day that you place your faith in him for your eternal destiny. Sometimes people ask the question, "So how can I become a Christian?" I say it's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Let's stand together for the invitation. As Christine comes to the piano, I would like to ask everyone, if you would, just to bow your head and close your eyes. And my invitation this morning is very specific and very narrow. You may be here today, and maybe you've gone to church for a long time, but maybe there has been this agonizing question in your heart about whether you have just been a church attender or whether you truly have trusted in the word and promise of God, that if you believe on his son, as you turn from your sins and turn to Christ, you will be saved. I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If there is a doubt in your mind, just slip out, come down to the front, and kneel here, and we will have someone who will pray with you as you trust in Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. How are we saved? We're saved by faith. Faith alone. Why is it so easy? Why is it so simple? It's because Jesus paid it all. And so if you have never trusted in Jesus, and there's a question in your heart about whether you are going to heaven when you die, just slip out. Come down to the front, kneel here, and we'll have someone who will pray with you. I'll give you a couple of minutes as you think about the decision that you want to make for him this morning. Anyone here just tired of wondering? Anyone here tired of doubting? You want to get it settled. This uncertainty is wearing you out. Why not come and just say, Lord Jesus, I want it settled forever. Please save me. I take you at your word right now. I believe your promise because you are faithful. Dear Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that when friends fail us, that when people don't keep their word, there's one thing on which we can depend. You are faithful. And we know that the Holy Spirit wants to build that quality into our lives. And we just pray that we would become people who are faithful as we walk in the Spirit, and as we are filled by Him every day. And we pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.